And now, courtesy of the 11L Network, it's LF Midwood.
LF Midwood.
And the Midwood Files. With the LF Midwood Experience. Here on Radio New York International.
Welcome to the Midwood Files. My name is LF Midwood. Let me see what it is. Oh, hang on. Let me move this over here. I barely just made it. I have not been feeling that great. I think there's something going on with my meds where, for whatever reason, I haven't been taking enough calories. I know, considering I'm a fat bastard, it's hard to believe, but one of my meds in particular is the antipsychotic. That one, I'm supposed to be taking, I think, 350 calories with it. And I haven't been for like a while. Because, you know, let me explain this. That's the best way to explain it. Happy Thanksgiving weekend to all of you, by the way. So our plan was to go over to my great uncle George's on Thanksgiving. The producer spent most of Wednesday night cooking, you know, the traditional stuff, with turkey, dressing, stuffing, same thing, I guess. I feel like I'm a little loud in my own head. You know what I'm saying? I'm loud in my own head. It's not good. let me see if I could figure out what the honk is going on. It's always something with this. Anyway, I'll take this for now. So she spent most of Wednesday night cooking a turkey, a couple of pies, cranberry, you know, the dressing, the cranberry sauce, I should say, and a turkey. So we knew like weeks ahead of time that we were going to head over to Uncle George's, you know, he knew too, you know, and I remember he's 93, you know, so, we get up early because, you know, he's, the older you get, the earlier supper is. So we told him we'd be there to eat by 2 o'clock, which meant we probably needed to get over there by 12:30, 1 o'clock, because there was some stuff to warm up, because we obviously had to reheat everything. Yeah, so I didn't feel so hot when I woke up. I didn't feel so wonderful. I never really do. Waking up is very difficult for me, and those around me, I might not. I had a bagel with cream cheese for breakfast. I didn't have any coffee because I figured I'd get coffee on the way, which is exactly what we did. We got there 12:30, right, we figured. So we walk in the door with all the food, and my Uncle George is like, "Oh, I just ate." And we're like, "What do you mean you just ate?" And he goes, "Yeah, the church group sent over a big, you know, big turkey thing, and I ate like half of it. I'm stuffed." And we look at him, and we look at each other, and we look at him again, and we're like, "All right." So we left the food in the kitchen, and it's like, it would have been so much worse. And he's like, "Oh, don't worry about me, just eat." And it's like, "Yeah, okay." So so he took the win right out of the sails, right away. So what we decided to do was we were just going to eat the appetizers that we bought over, which was, I think, a couple bottles of wine, some soft cheese, you know, that Burstyn stuff. Not Brie, I won't eat Brie, but the Burstyn stuff, some olives, some gherkins, and some Ritz crackers. Because we were like, why break open the whole dinner when we can just go home and eat later? I mean, it's not going to be like, you know, we're not eating with them. It kind of defeats the purpose. So we kind of explained to him what we were going to do, and he was like, "Oh, yeah, okay, he got it, but I don't know how much he got it, because he knew we were going to eat, but I didn't know whether he thought that we were going to break out the whole thing or not." But he made it clear he was not hungry, and he would not be eating with us. So I was like, "All right." So we were hanging out a little bit. Now, I had started to, when I get out of the car, sometimes it's really interesting, and it generally happens when I head out to Bristol, which means I'm getting up early, and I'm heading in because I got to be over there by noon because, like, by 3 o'clock, his day's over. You know, he's going to sleep at 4 o'clock. So we got to get up early, which is a thing for me, as most of you may know. So what I've noticed it a lot, and it happened again this time, meaning this Thursday, this last Thanksgiving. I started to get a little dizzy in the car. Little dizzy, nothing crazy, but a little dizzy. And generally what that leads to is more of a loss of equilibrium to where I have to sit down. I can't stand up or I'll fall down. I'll literally collapse. So when we got to Uncle George's, first got there, I guess I neglected to mention this. I got out of the car and then I had to sit back down in the car for another like 10 minutes before I could actually go into the house. And it's happened more than a few times. I'm trying to figure out what it was and what it's not. And we eliminated the high blood pressure. It's not the high blood pressure medication. It's not the Clonidin. Both those were cut in half and it still kind of happened. So we really no clue. But the only thing that I can really trace it to is when I go to Bristol. It's like consistent. Now, keep in mind, I don't really leave the house very much anymore. So it could be just getting up and being somewhat active. But I would also like to point out that getting in the car and sitting in the front seat of the car with my camera bag on top of my lap while we drive to Bristol, which is 20 minutes away, isn't being very active. So I'm like, I don't know what the deal is. I'm trying to figure out what's going on. So I think we might have figured it out. I think, like I said, I think my Latuda, I'm on Latuda for, I think it's 80 milligrams, and once a day. And I think with Latuda, you need to take a certain amount. Your calorie intake has to be at a certain amount while you are ingesting it for it to be properly, I think the term they use is activated. So I think what's been going on is I've been taking my Latuda in the morning with my light breakfast, meaning my bowl of cereal, and it's not been activated. I think what happens when I go to Bristol, I generally wind up eating breakfast plus maybe something, a little something on the way, plus the high-calorie coffee. Because we go to Starbucks and they get something good. Because I only do it every couple weeks. So the theory now is, a working theory here, is that I need to take more... I need to take more stuff. I need to take more food calories. And so I'm going to switch to taking the Latuda at dinner, which is generally a larger meal than breakfast normally is for me. I'm not a big breakfast eater. And the only reason I eat breakfast is so that I can take my pills. But apparently this one pill needs me to eat more breakfast. So I might as well just switch it to dinner. But what wound up happening is I wound up getting, I was pretty much dizzy the whole time, but it was enough to be able to get up and maneuver the apartment. It's a small apartment. I even went outside on the front porch with him for a little while. We sat out there, even though it was raining. And we talked a little bit, just him and I, which is nice. And then we came back in, and I had had some wine, and I had had some of the cheese. And I started to get really, really, really... It was like my head was spinning. It wasn't so much that I was getting nauseous as my head was, like, spinning. I refer to it more as swimming than spinning. Some of you may know the difference. I say to Gina, start packing up the food because, it's got to go back out to the car. So I figure if I give her one up, she'll take, you know, cause she doesn't do things fast anyway. So I figured it would have been 15, 20 minutes. And we would have announced our departure. So she did, she wound up doing it and I was pretty much in the same condition. And so, And then Jerry comes in and she says, Gina's in the car and she's not coming back in. So I'm like, oh, okay. So I guess I have to leave, right? And so this is my cue to leave. So I turn to my right and Uncle George is sitting 5-6 feet away from me, you know, observing social distancing. And I say, look, I got to leave. I'm not feeling well. And he's like, what? And he's like, aren't you going to eat? And I'm like, no. I don't know what I've been saying now for like a 20 minutes or, you know, or a half hour. Uncle George, I'm not feeling well. I need to get out of here. So he's like, all right. He seemed a little upset. You know, I think he was caught by surprise is what it was. And I want to go back as soon as possible. I'll probably go back on Monday. And we'll have lunch with him or whatever. So we get out to the car and halfway to the car, cause there's a lot of stairs involved, even though it's the first floor. I start to get really, really, I'm pretty sure I'm going to hit the ground. I mean, I'm pretty sure I'm going to hit the ground, but I managed not to hit the ground. I get to the car. I'm sitting in the car, and we're sitting in the car, and my aunt has the engine running, and she's just about ready to go, and I say, look, I'm going to puke. Just stop. So I open the door. I lean out. And as I've done so many times in my younger years, I just lean out, and I puke outside the car without touching the car hardly at all, if at all. So I do that for about 10, 15 minutes. I mean, to the guts, you know? And like you know, when you're just heaving and there's nothing there. And I feel crappy continually, even after that. Because normally if I feel bad, if I throw up, I'll feel better. On this particular occasion, it was not the case. So we decided we're going to go home, but my aunt wants to stop off and get some iced tea somewhere because she's a pain in the ass. So we stop off, I think one of the Dunkin' Donuts in Rhode Island, because you got to go through Massachusetts to get to Bristol from Providence. It's one of those things. One of the Dunkin's in Mass was open, so we got some like unsweetened iced tea, and I sipped on that a little bit, and I immediately went home and went to bed, and I stayed in bed for a while. I probably fell asleep for a little while, and then I woke up, and then later that night, like much later that night, I had a regular plate, you know, turkey and the whole shebang. The only casualties of this year's cooking, and she did a lot of cooking in a very short period of time, is I think the cranberry sauce was way too tart. There wasn't enough sugar put in it at its initial when it was made. And she tried to put some in the second night, and it didn't work. You can't do it. You got to put it in when you're making it. So that like basically sucked. Very tart anyway. Very tart. And the crust on the pies needed to be a little thinner so that they would have cooked a little bit better. The second one was better than the first one. Considering how much the producer had put together in such a reasonably short period of time, I give her a lot of credit. She did a good job. But the potatoes were great. Everything was great. I made sure to get her the stuffing cubes, you know, just so that she wouldn't have to use, because we don't use the store, you know, the like stovetop. We would never do that. Too much salt in there anyway. And usually what we do is we get bread and we cube it, and then we toast it, and then we use that, you know, chicken broth and bell seasoning and onions and celery. You get the idea. So I ate a little bit then, but I haven't been feeling well. Even up until, let's see, so that was Thursday night. Yesterday I wasn't really feeling well at all most of the day. It was still kind of residual. And I woke up this morning, and I was feeling a little bit better. And then we started to have this discussion about what the actual problem might be, you know, trying to eliminate suspects and all that. And I think it's probably what it is. I probably haven't been activating my meds. This is the scary part. Probably haven't been activating my meds properly. But the scary part is that when they're activated, they are hella strong. I mean, like, really strong. So I don't know what I'm going to do. I mean, I want to make sure that that's it. And if it turns out that this is, I mean, they're as strong as this, then I guess I'm just kind of relegated to really not leaving the house anymore because it's just too fucking dangerous. Yeah, believe it or not. So I'm not exactly what you would call a happy place to begin with. And then I had the show coming. I knew I had the show coming. I'm only going to do an hour, by the way. And then I'm gone. There's a reason for that. I'll explain in a couple of few minutes, maybe even seconds. We're just finishing eating up breakfast. It must have been around 12 because I don't know what time I woke up. Had to be later than that, actually. It had to be much later than that now that I think about it. It had to be like 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock. My phone rings while we're sitting here eating actually, I had a bowl of cereal. I had a banana, and then she gave me a bagel just to make sure that I got over the finish line to activate because I took the drug automatically when I wake up, and then I eat breakfast. So tomorrow I'll have it with dinner. So it's, you know, you get what I'm saying. I did it, and then I had to figure out how to activate the drug. So we think we activated the drug, and that's why I'm feeling kind of like. So in the middle of all this, the phone rings, and I keep my phone face down. It's the Imperial March from Star Wars, which is John. That's my JL ringer. I keep that as my JL ringer. And so I'm like, hey, you know, it's not uncommon that he would call me on a show day. Not entirely uncommon. He hasn't done it in a while. But you never really know. So I'm like, hey, what's going on? And he goes, you know, same old. And, you know, he's very low-key, man. The dude is super low-key on just about everything. And he says to me, do you think you could do some show tomorrow? You need some of my show tomorrow. And I'm like, what do you mean? You know, I mean, not for nothing. I've always been, you know, as long as I'm on the network, you know, as long as I'm doing the podcast and as long as I'm staying, I have a studio and I'm, you know, what's the term? I'm, you know, providing programming. The situation may have always arisen where I may need to do the show on Sunday, meaning the shortwave time, the BCQ time, which is fine. I mean, I've really kind of hoped that it's never come to pass because it would mean that John was having a problem of some sort. And two, I mean, it's not that big of a deal to me anymore to be on shortwave, you know, no knock against shortwave or BCQ, but I'm kind of happy with my own little dark corner of the attic over here. So I say, yeah, I mean, I immediately say, yeah, I'm not going to tell him no. So I go, so what's going on? And he goes, he told me he tested positive for COVID. So I'm like, are you okay? And he's like, yeah, I just get really tired. One of the things. Now, I don't know if he's talked about this during his show. I haven't listened to his show in weeks because, you know, with what's been going on with the election and then the election immediately into whatever else has been going on, I figure I would just give it a little bit of a rest because he can be a bit hostile and he can get, you know, a little tired of listening to it all the time. All, you know what I mean? Just jam-packed with negativity towards the other side. So I didn't even know. So I had no clue. So I'm like, I asked him, I said to him, I mentioned that this is the deal tonight. You know, he mentioned it during my show. And he's like, yeah, it's not a secret. So I guess, you know, I don't know whether if he's mentioned it during his show and I just haven't heard it, but it was the first time that I was hearing it. So it knocked me for a loop, you know, obviously. Now, obviously, he doesn't have any pre-existing conditions. He's not in that super elderly group. So he's got a very good chance. I think they just want him to quarantine at home. So he's all set. He, you know, he's all whatever he needs with provisions and whatnot. You know, he's all right. He's going to be, I believe he's going to be okay. But one of the symptoms, he's not asymptomatic. He is symptomatic. The major symptom seems to be he gets really tired. I mean, literally from like 10 minutes or 15 minutes to another 15 minutes, he'll get really tired and just get drained. So what he wants to do is bring Dave and myself on Zoom. I believe it was Dave's idea. Instead of just us doing hours, we could do time with him. So I don't know how long he's going to have us on, whether it's an hour or whether it's two. I think he wants to do at least one himself, probably the first one, I would imagine. I don't know what the setup's going to be. I'm going to call him tomorrow afternoon, and we're going to figure out the logistics of getting myself and Dave in. I think they already have it figured out, and they just have to bring me in, which is good. You know, I can follow directions and whatnot. I never used Zoom before ever in my life. So this was all a bit of a, you know, wow, you know, but he says he's okay, you know. I believe his sister's in a hospital because, remember, she had the COPD, CPOD, I forget which one it is. But, you know, she was obviously in a higher risk group. So she's in the hospital, getting care in the hospital. And I believe his niece is also infected. So it's, you know, I know he put a lot of effort. I mean, I can hardly think of anybody that I know who put more effort, quite frankly, into avoiding the possibility of infection because he was concerned about infecting his sister. Now, I didn't talk to him enough about it to know which direction it went in, but I'm willing to bet it was there and then it came out. Because he was like hermetically sealed, you know, dude, really, I don't know. I mean, I just don't, in X number of since all this began, I really don't hear, pray tell, a lot of John sticking his head outside of his house other than to go to his sister and then to come right back. You know, you got to ride public transportation, so you never know, but it's a cautionary tale because there's someone who was like really, really into, avoidance and doing the right thing and doing everything that he was told, and still managed to contract. So I mean, he's obviously be able to talk more from a firsthand experience tomorrow. So I'm just, this was just, you know, I just kind of had to explain this. So for some unknown reason, I felt I had to explain it. You know what I mean? So it's been that kind of week, if you know what I'm saying, between myself not feeling so great. And there's nothing wrong with me other than the meds. It's a meds thing, for sure. So I'm not, my temperature's not up. As a matter of fact, you take my temperature, I'm like, I've been 95.1 for the longest time. They were freaked out when I went to my my doctor a couple weeks ago. And it's like, I was sweating a little bit, but I'm 95.1. And they're trying to figure that one out. They're like, what is 95.1? And I'm thinking, am I hypothermic or something? And my pulse was really high. It was like 130, 135. And it gets like that. Whenever I walk into the doctor's office, it's always like that. I have that white coat syndrome, you know? So after I'm sitting in there for a little while and I'm calming down, it's getting better. But I think it was still at 115 by the time she finished the exam. So she wanted to, the nurse had to come in because I wanted to get my flu shot. And I needed some paperwork for, apparently I'm old enough to qualify for the shingles vaccine. It's a shingles vaccine. That's done in two pops that I haven't done yet that I have the prescription for. And just, you know, a little bit of this and a little bit of that. By the time the nurse had taken it, at the end, I was down to like 95. Or 95, 95 and 96. But I always, my pulse runs high. I'm very intense. Some of you out there know that I'm very, very intense. Yeah. That being said, so yeah, it's been a pretty crappy week. I gotta honestly say, I even said to John on the phone, I'm talking to him, and it's like, you know what? I don't want to make this about me, but fuck, man, you know, I was really upset. I mean, I'm really, you know, when it gets that close to 1 degree or another, I mean, I've only heard tell of people like third, you know, 2 degrees or 3 degrees of separation, maybe that have gotten the virus and, you know, have dealt with it. You know, they've not, I don't know of anybody who's died. I don't know anyone, nor do I know of anyone who knows anyone who's passed because of the virus. Matter of fact, my Uncle George's neighbor, who's about his age, got the virus and he went into the hospital and we just assumed he wasn't coming back. And he was in a nursing home a couple weeks, because they do nursing home for rehab here. He was in a nursing home for like 2 weeks later, and then a week later after that, he was home. So, I mean, there's a 93 or 94-year-old guy beating it. So, I mean, it's not, you know, it's not the mark of you know, the finger of death. I mean, obviously, as I was talking about with John, it affects a certain segment of our population. There's no denying that. But when you're looking at 99.9-something survival rates all the way across the chart, you know, you have to say to yourself, what's going on here? So, I mean, and I'm sure that's something else we'll talk about tomorrow. It'll be interesting. I haven't done any radio with John in a couple of few years, I don't think. I think the last time I did anything with him when I was down there for that Christmas show. So that had to be going on 2-3 years. 3 years ago? Maybe 3 years ago, the one we did with Hank Hayes. So I'm looking forward to being able to work with John again, actually. It's been, you know, obviously. So it's where I come from is where I grew up. Just make a spot on that first spot on the digital couch is mine. And I think it's good that we're going to try and do video. I think he's going to be video between him, Dave, and myself. He doesn't do video out of his studio, as you're aware of. Because it's going to be helpful to be able to see the person and get cues. That's one thing that when you're just doing something over the air, you know, audio only, and you don't have cues, it's kind of like, you got to kind of like, okay. So having visual cues to work with is, and I'm glad to work with him. I just wish it was under better circumstances. And, you know, I told him our services, meaning this studio services, are available to him for whatever the hell he needs, you know, and I know Dave will step up and do whatever Dave needs to do. And I'm sure after the 2 week quarantine time, I'm sure that, you know, that John will get through this. So it's going to be, you know, 2 weeks or whatever. So that's what's going on around here, man. I guess there's been some stuff in the real world. I really haven't paid that much attention to the real world. I got two, three news stories that I thought were relatively pertinent this week that I'll probably hit in a minute or two, just to kind of flesh this show out. A little bit before I barely made the start of this show, I was going to possibly run a little late. I'm physically not feeling well. And I was having some of the quote-unquote minor symptoms that I had when I had my blockage last year before, you know, like last September. And I was thinking about the hospital for about a 10-minute period. I was thinking about the hospital. I feel all right now. I feel better. Let's just put it that way. It's not what I hoped it wouldn't be, which is good. I mean, I know my body well enough where I can kind of tell what's going on. So, yeah, that would have just capped capped off the festivities very nice if I had wound up in the hospital tonight. See, I don't like to panic anybody, so I didn't say anything to the producer beforehand because it doesn't make sense to panic someone. And then I get panicked, and then the whole thing goes up in flames. You know, it's just, we don't want that. No, that wouldn't be good. And I was too tired last night to make it over to the Hank and Jim chat room because I like hanging out there on Fridays. I think I'm going to start going in there on Tuesdays, though, because Gymnasium does the offshore radio show on Tuesdays with a countdown from a specific year, and that's a lot of fun, too. So I suggest if anybody interested in hanging out in a chat room and possibly being able to use a cam, put a cam up of themselves, or not, just hang out in the chat room. You head over to Hank and Jim, head over to VaughnLive.live. I think it's Vaughn.live. And you'll see after 9 o'clock, I believe it is. I think it's 9. You'll see him up on the there's a listing of what's available. So I just did an HJ plug for no reason other than I felt like it. And they're good guys. But yeah, that's I was going to go over last night. I was just too tired. I just literally did not have the energy last night. I was going to, you know, because it gets a late start. It starts at midnight. He goes, I'm late. And it's like midnight to like 4:30 or whatever, or, you know, and midnight to like 4 even. And I wouldn't, I have to have a certain energy level to be able to go in there because you're dealing with people. You know, you can't just be sitting there like a bump on a log. You're interacting with people. You're on cam. So, you know, you can't be snoozing off. You can't be taking little naps or something. I like to go on cam when I'm there. I have a similar setup in the bedroom as I do here. Not exactly, but similar. But yeah, I was just shot. I was just 100% shot. I was like, nope, that's not happening. I got people I want to call that I was hoping to maybe call today that I didn't get around to calling, not for nothing. You know, the Connecticut Bureau I haven't spoken to in a while. I want to get in touch with him. I got to speak to my friend Steve in New Jersey, just a whole bunch of people. I have to speak to Pinball Wizard because I know we were talking about early December for me coming down there. Now I'm starting to wonder considering what's going on and the uptick. So... a lot of people that I need to talk to about a lot of various things, that I just have not been doing. I've just been slacking off. And so I apologize to everyone if I'm late in getting back to you. I just have not overall been feeling that well, you know, period. And I like the holidays. I'm a big holidays guy. I, you know, from Halloween on, I'm like, yeah, taking it at 90. Yeah, I'm in there. I love it. As a matter of fact, last night we didn't even normally we do Charlie Brown Thanksgiving. That's the one you can tell when things change. Say it all the time, you know, peanuts, everything fine, Christmas special, blah blah blah. You know, this, that, you know, thing. But boom, and then there's the 73 Thanksgiving special with the introduction of Franklin. Things change. Just saying. So we usually watch Miracle on 34th Street. You know, the original one in black and white, and I have stuff stored somewhere that it's a pain in the ass for me to get to, but I can get to them. So I was feeling crappy. So she ended, I don't know, relatively early because I don't even remember. I tell you the truth, it's 2 days ago, and I have like vague like recollection. But she comes in, and I'm like, for some unknown reason, you know, when you start to feel really sick, and you just want something that makes you feel better, right? So I found that Hulu had the Brady, Very Brady Christmas, which was like the first thing that they had done when they had started to do comeback stuff for the Brady Bunch before it got too weird. It's like it was like 2 hours, and I'm like, yeah, we're watching that. That's the first Christmas that opened up the Christmas season for us. Yeah. And normally it's Miracle on 34th Street because it starts with the Thanksgiving Day Parade. That's literally what the movie starts with. So we didn't do Miracle on 34th Street. We did the Very Brady Christmas. And then I think we did a cooking show. I think we did one of the cooking shows from a couple years ago. That was a Thanksgiving challenge. It was like 4 or 5 episodes, which was actually pretty good from the Food Channel. I don't remember the specifics, but it was fun to watch. And that's it, really. So the Christmas season is open. It's officially not for nothing. Nobody can complain about decorations going up or trees going up or music being played. We're officially in that zone. Black Friday was yesterday. I think they said that they had record sales. So at least there's, boom, something nice going on with the economy there. I think henceforth, sometime in early January, there'll be stimulus money coming out of Washington in one degree or another. There'll be probably personal checks again, and they'll probably be helping small businesses with the PPP program they had going that was helping keeping small businesses afloat. They probably would have been able to get this stuff out a lot sooner if Pelosi hadn't been such a dick about things. But, you know, Biden's going to have to get her under control. At this point in time, Biden's picking his cabinet. I mean, it looks like a lot of repeats in there. It looks like, as a matter of fact, the producer brought me a plate of Thanksgiving food today. You know, the leftovers from, and I could only eat the stuff. I couldn't eat it. It tasted funny to me. This is the quote, the words I said to her. It tastes funny. So I don't know whether it's my drugs or whether it's just it's gone around the bend, and my palate is just now rejecting those flavors for a while. It's that's it, shut down. You know, prepare to dive. I don't know, man. I don't fucking know. But I couldn't do it, although I did eat the pie. We got this. Nobody passes up on a piece of pie around here. We have a rule. If you see a piece of pie and nobody's eating it within like a day, you can eat the pie. Doesn't matter. You don't have to ask. You don't have to canvass the neighborhood. Are you going to eat this pie? No. So that's an understanding in this house, which is why we're all fat. Not for nothing. That's another thing I need to, you know, really focus on is my weight. I seriously have to get my weight down to at least 250 again. And then when I'm at 250, I have to get down to 230. And then if I can stay at 230, I'll be a happy camper. If I can drop any lower than that, then mazel tov, as my Yiddish friends would say. Oh, that's right. I don't have any Yiddish friends. Anyway, that being said. So I don't know. Now that I can't imagine. Not for nothing. We watch It's a Wonderful Life every year on Christmas night. You know what I'm saying? Not Christmas Eve. Or do we do it on Christmas Eve? Do we do it on Christmas? She's not going to come in here. I don't remember. I don't remember whether it's Christmas Eve or whether it's Christmas night. It might be Christmas night after night, which would make it the day after Christmas, technically. But we do it. We start it somehow, one way or another, the first 2 minutes of that thing are started. And I had this really funny. I have this same copy, right, that's got subtitles on it, right? And I always forget to kill the subtitles. So I have to start it. See the subtitles, stop it, go back into the settings, turn off the subtitles, and then start it again. It's been that way for 6 years. This is as long as I have that copy. It's a nice copy. Let me tell you something. The print of that movie is so good. When you know the scene when Potter's offering him the job in the bank and he turns it down? When he gives him the cigar and whatnot, there's so much stuff going on Potter's desk that you never really saw before until you move up to a real pristine copy of that film. And it's like, holy smokes, look at that. What the hell is that? I think there's a skull on that thing. What the hell is that doing there? Every year we're like, there's got to be a story behind that. So we never remember to look it up. But I refuse to cancel It's a Wonderful Life. So it'll be a wonderful life that will be on playing on his house at midnight. Even if I watch it myself, I don't care. And, as for my own traditions, personal, I usually, for a while there, I was doing the Godfather trilogy for a long time, as long as I was able to. And then last year I usually do it between Christmas and New Year's. So it's that week. I got that whole week to watch them. And sometimes I'd watch them in 2 days because you can't watch them all in one day. Sometimes I watch them in 3 days. I do one, you know. But last year, as a change, I felt like changing things up a little bit. I did the first three Star Wars movies. So I think I'm going to do the first three Star Wars movies, four, five, six, I guess, technically. Star Wars, Empire Strikes Back, and Return of the Jedi. I'll be doing those somewhere between Christmas and New Year's. So I like to have that, just that little trilogy tradition. I might, who knows, maybe I worked the Lord of the Rings stuff in there one of these years. I just kind of like to have one of those epic trilogies on. I just like to do it, you know. And I've seen The Godfather a lot. Let me tell you something about that movie, though. I mean, you can see The Godfather 1,000 times, and you'll pick out something that you didn't see before, one on each one of those times. I'm telling you, it's just one of those movies, you know. One of the background things, just a slight little detail thing. You're like, oh, yeah, wow, you know. So I enjoy doing that. And actually, I think we saw The Mandalorian last night, and I think Baby Yoda has a name. You got to come in here and tell me what Baby Yoda. Get up off the thing. Rise. Get the producer to do producerly duty. Rise. And you got to tell me, what's Baby Yoda's name? Grogu? Grogu? Is that it? Grogu? Yeah? I don't know. Grogu? Apparently, I don't know if you watched The Mandalorian. It's the Star Wars series on Disney Plus. He was able to get Baby Yoda to the Mandalorian was able to get the Baby Yoda to another Jedi, and then the Jedi was able to commune. What is it?
It's Grogu.
Grogu.
And I hate you.
Okay, Grogu. Is it Christmas Eve or is it Christmas night?
Christmas night.
It's Christmas night. Yeah, we eat salami and provolone sandwiches, and watch It's a Wonderful Life. So it's Grogu. Interesting. So now we know it's not Baby Yoda, because it couldn't be Baby Yoda, because it doesn't make sense that it would be Baby Yoda, because it's only a couple of years after they would have died. If that. Can't mess with us Star Wars fans. So, yeah, I'm going to do that. But so Baby Yoda has a name, and I don't know how many episodes are left in this season. I really dig it because I like the Western motif. I've always been a big fan of Westerns, at least the good Westerns. Big fan. Always love Westerns as far as Hollywood went. And there's always somebody big in there. There's a big star in there usually, which is really kind of cool. Like, I think, the week before last, it was Starbuck. Katie Sacken something. I never remember her last name. Sackenwitch? Sackenhatch? Sackenwitch? I couldn't tell you. I don't remember. But she was... Starbuck on the Battlestar Galactica, the Redux of Battlestar Galactica, which I highly recommend if you're only going to watch one sci-fi thing in your friggin' life. One series, that's the series to watch. If you're only going to watch one sci-fi movie, I would recommend Blade Runner. I love Blade Runner. It's the only Blu-ray I own. It's really funny. I had to buy it because it was like they put every edition out because it was international editions. There was a rough workhouse edition. There was the U.S. edition. There was like six editions of this movie on this Blu-ray set. So I had to get it. Oh, because I love that movie. I do. So that would be the only single movie. If you're only going to watch one trilogy of movies, obviously it would be 4, 5, 6 of Star Wars. That being said. I just love sci-fi. There's so much good sci-fi out there that it boggles the mind. And it never really goes away. That's what I appreciate about sci-fi. There's always a little niche for it. There's always a couple of sheep to be shorn. So they produce stuff. I think there's supposed to be a new Battlestar. Something or another. A new series. A Redux. So it'd be a Redux. So it'll be the second Redux. I don't believe it's supposed to have anything to do with the one that just passed, because that was pretty much self from beginning to end. It solves itself, as they say. It resolves itself. It's a good ending. I liked it. Anyway, people are always going to be grumbly about something. So, yeah, and the thing about sci-fi is actors keep popping up through different sci-fi things. Like if they were on one thing, you won't see them for a while, and then boom, all of a sudden they'll be on. Oh, look at that. It's Starbuck on Star Wars as a Mandalorian, no less. Really? Wow. Didn't see that coming. And friggin' Star Trek. This was really big this week on Discovery, right? They went for I'm not even going to try to explain the plot to you. If you don't watch it, you won't know, so it won't make sense. But all I can say, and this will make sense, is that some point in the future, like 1,000 years from where the original series was set, the Vulcans and the Romulans, they reunite, because they were originally two separate tribes that separated. Most of you will know that. And then Romulus had plenty of problems, the planet itself. So they come back to Vulcan and they are integrated back in, and it becomes, I don't remember the name of the planet, which is really messed up, but they do it. And that's huge. I sat there, my jaw was open for like at least 2 minutes. I was like, and then I turned to the producer and I go, you understand the implications of this, don't you? Yeah. It's huge, huge. So, and Discovery is turning out to be a real good series. Real good series. I'm liking it a whole lot. Picard, the first season of Picard was okay. They got a long way to go. But I think whatchamacallit is supposed to come back in a month. Sabrina, the Thrilling Adventures of Sabrina. What did I say?
The name of the planet is
Navarre. Navarre. The name of the planet is Navarre. The name of so it used to be Vulcan, but they renamed themselves Navarre after the unification. But there have been issues, apparently. So they're going to get into that a little bit. And the Thrilling Adventures of Sabrina, or the Chilling Adventures of Sabrina, is coming back, I think, on Netflix pretty soon. So that to look forward to. I am going to watch less TV next year. I'm just going to be very selective. Mucho selective. I'm gonna drop some off. Some stuff. See, what's happening is this stuff is concluding, and I'm not replacing it with things. So it's in its own way, it is slowly, a little warm. It is slowly dropping off. The amount of stuff that I watch is dropping off. And I tell you the truth, I could watch a fair amount of television and do a fair amount of reading. I could do both those things at the same time if I kind of time things correctly. So I think it's better about time management. Now, time management becomes important for people who have very little time or for people who have too much time. If you're in the middle, time management really just kind of works itself out on its own. I'm one of the people who have too much time. And I've been sleeping like 10 to 12 hours a day, which is not good. I understand. But that's just the way things have been working out. I want to kind of tighten that up. From as far as New Year's perspective and things that I would like to do prior to the relaunching in Texas, reimagining will be in version 3 or version 4 or something. Version 2.0 for Texas, actually. But I've reinvented myself in my life lots of times. Yeah. Lots of times it's almost where I'm at the point where I'm like, okay, let's just do this. You know, let's just trim off. The theory is the more fat I trim off, not myself, but if, let's say argumentatively, a piece of meat, if I were a piece of meat, you know, if my life were a piece of meat, beef preferably, but could be pork as well. You know how you trim and you have to trim off just the right amount of fat. You can't get rid of all the fat because then it's going to dry out when you cook it. So I'm still in that trimming of the fat process. That sounds like a Vulcan ceremony, the trimming of the fat. You know, because those Vulcans have ceremonies for everything. Let me see if I can reach my tablet. I saved a couple of stories in Twitter that I thought were worth mentioning, if not possibly reading. I'm warm. 1, 9, 4, 8, 7, 6. And that's not working. Hang on. Okay, this is angry. Well, we'll just go straight to Twitter. Going to Twitter now. Oh, you know, I got to mention on the, this is all I'm going to mention on the tech side this week. Parlay, they apparently put their dark mode feature back in. It was there and it got removed and it's back. So it's back. So that is a dark mode in Parlay, okay, on the Android app. But even better, check this out. Facebook has a dark mode on Android. I knew it had one on, I think it had one on desktop, but I don't use Facebook on desktop. I haven't opened up my Facebook account on my desktop computer. I had hair on the top of my head the last time I did that. You know what I'm saying? It's been a really long time. I'm mobile, baby. I'm moving around doing nothing. Doing nothing. But I'm mobile. Woohoo. So anyway, Facebook has a dark mode. Yay! I don't have it loaded. I did, but something happened. I know she's thinking, like, I know I loaded that. No, something happened. Something bad happened. I don't want to talk about it. Okay, so let's see. Not now. And let me go over to my bookmarks. And what do I got in here? Okay. All right. Iran's top nuclear scientist assassination will very likely be put Iran's nuclear program on hold. This is out of Hannity, so not just Hot Fox, but Hannity. See, I'm starting to get a little. I don't like it. Let's see. I know the Connecticut Bureau is sitting there saying another innocent Iranian has been murdered by those. What are they again? Well, you know what I mean. That's why I was surprised my phone didn't ring today. Quite frankly. They did it again. They did it again. The damn Yids did it again. All right. On Friday, Iranian nuclear scientist Moshe Farkhizadeh, that's it, was assassinated near Tehran. I'm horrible. Several Iranian nuclear scientists have been assassinated over the years. Yeah, this is correct. But this guy was the most important nuclear scientist to be assassinated to date, reports the Jerusalem Post. In fact, he was so important that it will not be until Israel's prime minister, Benjamin Netanyahu, showed his picture that there were no photographs available of him, and Iranian authorities even denied numerous requests from the Atomic Agency to interview him. They kept this guy under wraps. They were afraid of losing him. Oh, look, I go all overexposed when I move this in. Look, see, look. Oh, yeah, a little too much white. It is still unclear who was successful at the assassination of Iran's most nuclear scientist, despite Iran's effort to protect him. However, Netanyahu put on the global stage when in 2018, Netanyahu stated the head of the project is Dr. Mohsen. remember that name. Netanyahu's comment came after he revealed Israel had obtained 100,000 files from Iran's nuclear secret archives. So, while he was forced to shelve the project amid the in 2003, it continued with this. See how I get my composure back and my voice drops. Nuclear ambitions and Western intelligence sources even revealed that in 2013 had attended a North Korean weapons test. Interesting. According to the Jerusalem Post in 2014, the New York Files compared to Robert Oppenheimer, the father of. I know it's not funny anymore, but I'm literally doing it because it's necessary. It's what it sounds like. That's what it sounds like in English, says the guy from Brooklyn. Yeah. So anyway, Israel hit him. He's dead. Everybody's upset, or they're upset, and we don't know what's going to happen. What else do I got here? This was the. I read this already. I remember that. Okay, well, why is this still here? I read this too already. So the only other thing apparently I had on here was this is out of worthypolitics.com. The left eats its own. I'm going to actually bring this down a little bit. So, yeah, I like that better. The left eats its own. Black Lives Matter leader accuses Joe Biden of capitalizing on efforts to defund the police. Okay. A leading member of the Black BLM Global Network Group accused former VP Joe Biden of capitalizing on our efforts to defund the police. Okay. The Los Angeles BLM leader also said Biden has tried to condemn the effort at the same time. Former Vice President Biden capitalized on our efforts to defund the police and then tried to condemn the words at the same time, BLM Los Angeles chapter leader Dr. Malina Abdullah said. During a Tuesday morning protest. Abdullah's comments appeared during a series of protests this week outside the home of Los Angeles Mayor Eric Garcetti. The protests have the precise goal of depriving the city's mayor of an appointed position in a potential Biden-Harris administration. Biden often claimed to be against the defund the police movement. I not only do not want to defund the police, I am the one calling for $300 billion more for, I don't even That's not, he might even have said that. I'm calling for $300 billion, 1 million more for local police, for community policing, and Biden said in September. It doesn't make any sense, but that's okay. We want to be very clear that we are happily usher out the Trump regime. We will not accept liberal white supremacy in the White House in the form of Joe Biden, Abdullah said. It does not matter to me that Kamala Harris is your vice president if you're using her black woman body to usher in oppressive systems and oppressive people like Eric Garcetti, she added. It's interesting because if you look at Kamala's record in regards to, locking up black people, maybe she wouldn't be so high on Kamala. Back in March, I do remind people of Biden's history of having a lock them up approach. Yep, that's true. She allegedly accused the former vice president of doubling down on liberal white supremacy if he appoints Garcetti to a position in his administration. She also has something to say about Donald Trump calling him a white supremacist. Well, big surprise. We know that we had to protest Donald Trump and we had to get Donald Trump out, Dr. Abdullah stated. Yeah, it was Dr. Abdullah and her movement that got Donald Trump out of the White House. Yeah, look at the numbers. Look at the numbers. Anyway, we have to protest blatant white supremacy. But we have to remember there's a lot of liberal white supremacists too, she added. Oh, that's interesting. Okay, so those are two news stories. I really wanted to get to this week. Like I said, it's been it's the Saturday after Thanksgiving. Even if it had been a normal Thanksgiving for me, I would be all carved out. I know most of you are just probably, just sitting there on your couches, leaning to one side. So yeah, I know it's like the lost weekend. They should just call this the lost weekend, but they haven't. So I'll be back on tomorrow, I guess. We'll have to. I don't know exactly what the scheduling would be. So I guess you just have to listen to John Lightning's A Little Bit of Everything Radio Extravaganza in order to figure out what's going on. He'll be on 8 to 11 tomorrow on this website. Of course, off of johnlightning.com. And I guess the links are here the same, too, so you can get to those links as well here. I know some of you may not have listened to John in quite some time. He is listenable from the audio high, audio low links listed in my show links right on top of the page there. I wasn't going to say anything, but I did something to my website on mobile where now you see the whole site. You're not getting a mobile version of the site, which means that you need to kind of make things, you need to pinch them to make them a little bigger if you want to see them. But it makes everything the same for everyone, meaning the site it's a miniature version of the site that you would see on Windows. And I need to do that for a little bit. If nobody has any complaints, that's great. If you have some complaints, stuff them. I need to do this for a little bit. So now I can say that across the top, when I do my plugs, across the friggin' top over here, you can't see that, it says the Midwood Files. And then it says home. And then right next to that, it says 11LRNI. And that's where you'll find the link to John Lightning's site. And over there at John Lightning's site, you'll find John Lightning's archives. You'll find Dave's archives, Dave the Boogeyman's archives. You'll find Big Steve Colon Memorial archives. And you'll find my audio. If you look over the rest of my site, you'll find my audio archives listed by date. If you want to get to a specific date, why am I not looking at this right? There it is. There's also my social media, Take the Red Pill. We've been talking about finding a better thingamajiggle. It's the second week in a row I'm mentioning this. I figured out later last weekend at like, Sunday morning at like 3 o'clock in the morning, I figured out, I turned to the producer and I said, I mentioned the landscaping the week before, didn't I? And she goes, yeah. And I go, see, so that's 2 weeks in a row that I talked about the landscaping around the house. And I totally forgot that I had done it the first week. So I think I might have to actually start writing stuff down so I don't repeat myself, because it's not like I'm on for a long time, you know? So anyway, I know I talked about possibly expanding the social media section of the site. I just haven't found a widget that I like. She says there's something out there, so we're going to have to look and see if I can expand Take the Red Pill, because there's a couple of things on there that aren't on there that I would like to add. Gab and Paulette. And I think there's one or two others that I might want to throw in there if I had access to be able to do so. So, yeah. And then if you go all the way up, back up to the top of the screen, and you go all the way over to the right, you'll see our good friend Brad Reed over there at Grits Radio. Hey, Brad. Thanks for playing the show. God bless you. I don't know why. It's still one of the great mysteries of life, I suppose. That being said, I'm tired. I'm going to get out of here. Stay tuned tomorrow night, and you'll be able to determine what's going on, because John will tell you. So that being said, let me see if I can load the clues. Load the clues. Here it is. Okay, I loaded it. So I'm going to play this, and then I'm not going to be here anymore, right? Thanks, y'all. Talk to you tomorrow. Bye.
You've been listening to the Midwood Files on Radio New York International. Thanks for listening. RNL.